Welcome, movie lovers, as we dissect Kay Cannon's Blockers. That's right, stay tuned. It's a raunchy comedy all about females.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is our quick review of Blockers. Normally, we dissect things much, much at length, but we felt this one was, being a comedy, not to disrespect it, because, in fact, I quite loved it. We figured we'll just talk about a few things, give you our quick review, and then head it home. We have Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
We have Dimitri Panos.
Hey, movie fans.
How's and I'm Phil Svitek. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start with overall thoughts, and normally I kick it to Marissa, but I'm going to start.
Okay.
And normally I give you guys a spoiler warning, and so now you've been warned as well. I think movies such as this honestly come once in a generation. There's movies like Superbad, there's movies like American Pie, and now I can honestly say there's Blockers right in that list. And I appreciated and loved it for all of its glory. And that's it.
You know, I'm not surprised. You do love these movies. I loved American Pie. That's a fun movie that, like, really set the bar for teenage raunchiness. And I think every movie after that just kind of has to live up to that movie. And this one, going into it, I knew it was Kay Cannon and, like, love Pitch Perfect movies. You heard me on all the Pitch Perfect anatomies. You know how much I love those movies. So I do appreciate the raunchy humor in some respects. And this was a fun movie. I went in and got some laughs, and then I got more laughs because there were more situations I wasn't expecting. As crazy as they were, we'll get into them. But, yeah, overall, fun movie.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what makes a good comedy? Well, laughs. Number one, this movie had a lot of laughs. Characters that you actually care for. People don't think about that in a comedy, but you got to care for some of these people or your characters to go along the journey. And then heart. And this movie has a lot of heart to it, too. I find this movie to be very funny. It was also relevant in today's world. Does give us an extremely unique perspective that hasn't been done yet. But to the movies that we aforementioned, right? American Pie. I think Superbad needs to be thrown into this mix as well. When you look at movies like that, what is it about it? Is it the raunch? No, not really, because we've talked a lot about raunchy movies. And if it's done in such a way where it's way, I don't want to sound like a prude or like gratuitous or it just comes out of nowhere, it just doesn't work. It falls flat. This movie has, you like the kids. The kids have heart. They're smart kids and their heart's always in the right place. And for this movie, as you said, for this generation, we are looking at a different perspective. And that makes it original on its own, albeit the concept may not be so original. It's a little bit American Pie, super bad, but together. But I really enjoyed not only watching the girls, and they weren't annoying whatsoever. They were really funny. I liked the parents. I saw where they were going, and I liked the personalities of each one of them. And to me, the standout was John Cena. I thought it was hysterical in this movie. He was very funny. He was really put to good use in, I think it was Trainwreck.
Yes.
As Amy Schumer's boyfriend.
He was in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was in the father movies with Mark Wahlberg.
Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home. He's funny, but he's in this movie a lot. And I found him to be very funny. I actually found for the first time in a movie, anyways, Ike Barinholtz came up to the plate. Not only delivered laughs, but he was able to deliver sentimentality. So he was fantastic. Leslie Mann, who I've, you know, there's something sexy about funny women, and she's very funny. I expect no less from her. And that character could have been way over annoying. And she wasn't, you know. So I liked the chemistry between the adults, and I love the chemistry between the children. We got into some, fascinating territory. It's a funny movie.
Let's talk about the parents because we'll sort of break it down. We'll start with the parents. We'll talk about the kids. And the reason I want to start with the parents because based on the trailers, I honestly thought that they would be our overall protagonists. But this is really a movie of six. And when it comes to the parents, what I appreciate and what makes this so different is that it subverts everything. Where in a sense, you would think that Leslie Mann's character, Lisa, would sort of represent this female perspective of like, oh, you misogynist men, you're just trying to, why? Like, this is so, if this was a guy, you would be going the complete opposite way. And Hunter, who normally in any other movie for me would be the one that would be championing this the most. What I appreciate about him is that the only reason he goes along eventually with this is because he is trying to prevent a mistake from his daughter being pressured into having sex for the wrong reason,
right?
Because because she's a lesbian. That to me was completely different. Marissa, what did you think of the parents?
I like the parents, and I think they all had a good different set of personalities, and we know the number six works just when you get into a group. I mean, Hello Friends, that was six. I mean, like there are so many movies that, and American Pie had like around 6 to 8 people, so like it's a good solid number. I liked the parents because they had different motivations of going in, but I liked also that near the end, like they came around and thought differently, their perspectives changed for the better. And it like really rung true to a lot of just social elements that are going on in the world, whether it be gender equality or sexuality. And like I liked it because kids and teenagers these age watching out be like, it's okay. It's how you go about the situations, not the reason and the reason why you go into the situations. I think there's a good message actually out of all of this.
Yeah, it did have a really good message. I agree with you, and I agree with the Hunter character. When you break down that character, he was the one that had the most marital problems, right? But yet he was the voice of reason. And he was actually really doing things out of love for his daughter. They all were doing it out of love for their daughters. But his was like, I don't want her to have, like, it's going to happen. I just want her to be in the right reason because he knew. Like, he knew from the get-go. But it's funny that you brought up regarding a woman's perspective. It was, I think, John Cena's wife who actually brought up that double standard in the movie when she was in, and I was like, she goes, wait, if this was a guy, if we're talking about a boy, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. You wouldn't be doing this right now. Why is it any different for the daughter? And the strange thing was, is that one character went, they still went through and they learned that as the rest of the movie goes on.
Well, what I think sold that moment was Leslie Mann. Because the dialogue was so well written as far as, you know, throwing in the use of society, and Leslie Mann's character, Lisa, just picked up on that. I'll give a crap about society tomorrow. Right now I'm protecting my daughter. So, you know, what I appreciated as far as them, you mentioned John Cena being very funny. I think what worked well is I think he's coming into his own, and this is the first time besides like Ferdinand was his voice, so it wasn't him acting, as far as having, you know, a huge role to in terms of minutes. This certainly was his longest one that I can remember, and I thought they played to a strength of comedy and then gave some of the more heartfelt stuff to Leslie and Ike.
But I will say that he had that very heartfelt moment when he was sitting with his daughter in the hotel room. And that could have gone a completely different way. They could have played this, what may be considered as typical, is the daughter being so pissed off that she would never want to talk to the dad again. But they actually did sit down and have conversation, which, again, I appreciate in this movie. Even when you watch movies like 16 Candles, there comes a moment where the parents actually are sympathetic to the child or to the daughter, much like Paul Dooley is to Samantha in 16 Candles. And when she goes, but Dad, I learned everything to be the person I am because of you. I thought that was a very nice moment as well. Mm-hmm. And it only adds to Ike Barinholtz's moment because we've never seen him that way before. And I thought this was his best role. This is a role I go, okay, he's really good in this. When he has his moment with his daughter. But even when he comes up, like he knew where nobody else knew that his daughter was gay. Like, they're like, what? He goes, of course she is. He goes, but there wasn't any not love for her. There was even more love for her and wanted her to do things for the right reasons. Those are good motivations.
Absolutely. And one of the trailer, I appreciate that the trailer sold me on the movie 100%. And then the movie switched that initial expectation where I thought the three of them would so be on board and would be great friends. Like, they didn't necessarily need to agree with each other, but the fact that they weren't friends to begin with, and there was that tension and, in a sense, a hierarchy where, there's that great moment where Mitchell is telling Lisa, like, I call you. Yeah, just call me. I try. It doesn't work. and yet the same thing that she's doing to him, both of them do to Hunter. So it's those three levels of just non-existent friendship, yet everyone's trying. I thought that was a neat way to really put them together.
Yeah.
In this movie. All right, so let's talk about the girls, because I was not expecting, as I said, for them to have as large a role as they did. And even though we talked about the tender moments with the parents, the fact that each of them walks away with a different lesson, you know, where we're talking about this whole idea that it's okay for women to lose their virginity, or in this case, we can call them girls because they're not
women yet.
They're still in their teens, you know, and for me, teens is up to 20. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that the one of them that actually does lose their virginity, Julie, it's because she has a serious boyfriend, and you know, whether or not this relationship will last till the end of eternity, who knows, but they are at least in love. Whereas the other two, you know, they learn and it's like, okay, we can wait. And I thought that was a very powerful message overall.
And I think it's good. And I think it's good for teenagers to be like, you know, everyone's on different time clocks, you know, and it's like, if you're in a real serious relationship, it's fun. And if you're not, don't be pressured into doing it just because your friends are. And I think American Pie had that kind of deal because they were all so pressured to each all have sex on the same night too, which was prom. So like, and I think the message that the girls can take away from this movie is like, it happens when it happens. Don't force it, it'll happen.
Yeah, and I think the difference between like an American Pie and Blockers here is that American Pie really, you know, our focus really is on the Jason Biggs character. And again, look at the dad. Eugene Levy as his dad is a very sympathetic father.
Very okay? supportive.
He is very, very supportive father, which for these types of movies, I find it to be integral and important, right? Parents don't always have to be assholes. So, but the difference is here in Blockers, we're not focused on just Julie. We've got Kayla to worry about, and is it Angela? Sam. So it's this troika. We care about the three of them, and we're watching the three of them go through this, each with their own, well, I'm going to make the pact because we should do it, and one sort of peer pressured into it. And so they have three different motivations, and they come out with three different messages each. So I think it's important to note that, yeah, we're following three people, and then we're following the three adults who, are, again, each have different motivations for themselves. And everybody comes out the wiser through the comedic moments, through the hilarity. So the message to the movie was charming, sweet, even amidst of it being in the bed of some raunch, which was very funny too. You know, so I think from a character development wise, I enjoyed with these three girls and following all three of them and not focusing on one in particular, because they each had their, you know, their badge. They each had their adventure, so to speak.
They certainly did.
Yeah.
And, you know, why don't we kind of quickly go down the lessons of each. Julie, what I appreciate, she learned that you can still have a perfect moment without it being, quote, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. And, you know, when you talk about the raunchiness, Kayla walked away with the most raunchy. He went down. Right.
Down.
Good for Chad. You know, he did the deed. And then
the cook.
The chef.
The chef.
The chef indeed.
And of course you had to have, you know, the, like, I'm not a proponent of drug use, but like you knew that was, you know, gonna be in this movie too. And then it definitely got through Kayla. She's sure. The drug user. All right.
And then as far as Sam, what did you guys think about the external relationship? Like, not Chad, but, you know, her love interest throughout the whole movie, and then what comes to fruition. And, you know, while it's not, you know, it's the start of something, but they didn't consummate it, let's say.
It was a payoff. I mean, there was definitely a payoff moment.
Absolutely.
It was something she was longing for the whole movie, and you knew that the other girl felt that way too. It was literally a slow buildup to what you wanted at the end.
And it was an earned payoff. Yeah. Yes, it's a very earned payoff, which again brings to the heart of this movie. Because for that, it wasn't about sex.
No.
It really was about relationship and finding love. And it doesn't matter whether you're straight or gay. This was about finding someone who was like-minded. And that's where that payoff comes, and it was very earned when it comes at the end. So it was sentimental, it was heart, and you were happy. You were happy for both, but you were happy for Sam because we're following her through the entire movie. So that movie works, and again, when we're talking about a teen movie, when we're talking about any comedy, the fact that we had multicultural people here, multicultural characters, we had representation, we had a strong, good gay character, finding her own way, who had parental support, who had wonderful father support. And that's what I appreciated about this movie, too.
Well as far as her journey is the most interesting, because she's getting advice. She's obviously the most confused, right? And right. She's getting advice throughout the whole movie that dictates her in these directions of, you know, when did you know? Well, it was at first when I kissed this boy, but then I touched his penis. And it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe I have to do the same thing. And when you talk about that earned moment with Hunter, her dad, you have to kind of reverse it where to the initial point that got all this going, which at least Frank was trying in some sort of semblance, although he didn't understand her, but you kind of understand she's not been his daughter, and it's been hard for them to relate. And so at the very least, he's trying. Whereas it's ironic that, you know, though she hates her dad the most, he's the one who understands her completely and actually gives her the best advice. Whereas the mother's like, you'll never be friends.
Right.
That was the harshest.
That was so awful.
Right.
And, but the flip side of it, you know, he does give her the good advice of, like, of course your friends will understand. Just be honest with them. And she is, and that's what ends up happening.
Yep.
So I like that dichotomy, that story-wise they were able to create that.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. 100%.
Truly wonderful. I wanted to get you guys' perspective. None of us are parents here, but the helicopter parenting aspect of all of this, because take our main characters aside, you still have, what's the Julie's love interest name? I forget. I apologize. But his parents, who are so wonderfully in touch and texting him about how many times they have sex, and like he's going to lose his flower.
That's a little bit much.
That's too much.
But here's the irony. But I could, Marissa, I can't say the specifics, but there's people we deal with here.
Oh, I know.
That we deal with their parents. I'm like, why am I dealing with your parents?
Are too involved. I mean, and I think there's a difference between, I always seem, you can tell me if I'm wrong, helicopter parents are people who hover over their kids because they're so overprotective and they want to know everything that's going on in their lives. So it's like, it's more of a negative kind of dissonance to these to helicopter terminology compared to people to parents. Like, these parents were just so totally open and honest. So like, it was too, it didn't seem helicopter, it was just, it was too open a relationship. It was more of a a friend to another friend, not a parent to a child.
The relationship is too open. I get that. The way I sort of kind of looked at it is, and that was Gary Cole and Gina Gershon were those parents, and they were fantastic. They were fantastic, but okay, so we're talking about Sexer, and I'm going to go, well, how much is it unlike the parent that someone allows their child, like when they're a teenager, to have a sip of beer or maybe a glass of wine, right? Like, don't treat it as a taboo, right? And then they're not going to crave it maybe later on and become the alcoholics, or maybe they'll be a little bit more responsible. Other than if you treat it as a taboo, then they're going to want it more and more. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the parents here did not treat sex as a taboo at all. So by that character's, it wasn't Austin. By Austin's thing, he was like, okay, that's fine. I'm not afraid of it. And he was relatively level headed about it. Now you can say the same about Connor, but he was sort of kind of high.
No, I think when it came to him though, it became like this thing. Like I felt in a sense he was done a disservice because it was so built up within him of like, oh, I have to be able to do this, that it's different. I thought the one. Honestly, the true north compass of all of this was Marcy. Mm-hmm. I feel like Marcy had the healthiest attitude. Like, we can talk to our kids about it, but we don't need to let them know every time we have sex.
She was the center. Right. Yeah. Right. I agree. Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. And I think that, but I do honestly believe it is a commentary on helicopter parents and the lengths that they're willing to go to. And not go to, but just disregard their kids' needs. And you know what? You got to scrape your elbows every now and then to get through it.
And Hunter was not allowed to be a helicopter parent. Another interesting thing in how the Hunter character is written. So we are led to believe very early on he cheated. He was a miserable man. Cheated. Marriage falls apart. Goes into divorce. And he loses the friendship.
A friendship he never really had,
but he loses that, right? So at the end, I somewhat appreciated the fact that he said, "Did you ever ask my side of the story? Did you ever like think?" I'm not saying that I'm right, and I'm not saying that I'm the moral compass here. He goes, "But you guys just left, and it wasn't even a question. You just believed everything, and you never asked me." And he said, "Did you know that this happened? This happened?" And that to me led. That was different layers of that character and of a divorced parent. I'm not condoning cheating. I'm not condoning that at all. So please don't misunderstand. But I'm saying that his character at least was written with some realistic layers that I appreciate. So I thought that was great. Now, I want to talk about Julie because to me, Julie had the funniest line in the entire movie. I mean, like, in the entire movie. And that was when she's doing the rose petals. She goes, "Oh, I saw this in a romantic comedy once. You may have heard American Beauty?" I was laughing so loud. And I loved how Austin goes, "Did you see the rest of that movie?" But I mean, again, that goes to the innocence of these kids. Because I just thought that the funniest line, I think, it's going to take brilliance to come up with in a comedy to have a line that's better. "Oh, I saw this done in a romantic comedy once. Have you heard of American Beauty?" And I'm like, wow.
That's a good question, Marcia. What was your favorite comedic bit or moment line?
I'd have to say that, well, I'm a big sucker for slapstick humor. So the moment when and I don't like wrestling, but when John Cena came busting through the door and he just like picked up the kid and threw him against the wall, was not expecting that because they built his character to be so sensitive and like emotional and he's always crying and then he just like tosses a kid like a rag doll. That was actually funny because I wasn't expecting it. And then when also when Lisa gets electrocuted by the TV.
That actually was sort of funny. Yeah.
I love slapstick humor.
Yeah.
She was great. There was a lot of good moments with making fun of John Cena's strength, because it, like the car window in particular, he's like, wait, what are you doing? You're not Schwarzenegger. And then he's like, how is that possible? I appreciate it. Even for me, even though it was in the trailer, and maybe I was looking forward to it for that reason because of how amazing it was, but the butt chug.
The butt chug.
Even despite it being in the trailer, they put so much in front and behind it to make it all still be funny within the movie. That to me was the funniest portion. And the fact that it has you know, a through line as far as to the end of, like, I don't think those guys were actually butt chugging.
But
yeah. I just appreciate it.
Like that moment, it was just like so hard to watch because they're like, just accept it. Stop fighting and just accept it. You're like, oh no.
And the fact that he thought Lisa would be a better choice simply because she had a pregnancy.
I didn't have a kid through my ass. I think that thus far 2018 is proving to be really good for comedies. I really loved Game Night. Well, we do need them, but they need to be good. Mm-hmm. And they've been stepping up to the plate. Game Night, I felt, had some very clever jokes, like the table gag, right? The movie Tag, to me, looks like it could be very funny too. So remains to be seen on that. But these two comedies thus far this year, I would highly recommend, and they deliver laughs. And, like, good out loud belly laughs throughout. And this movie, I didn't find the raunch to be gratuitous at all. Much like in American Pie, it was shocking but funny. So, you know, this one time in Bandcamp. we love those kids, you know? And I think that's the root
of... They were realistic.
Exactly.
They were nerdy. They were like kids who were just Joe Schmoes that had no chance of getting lucky.
And even when you look at a character like Stifler, who's the most obnoxious, he's still likable. Like, you don't... Ugh, I don't hate him. Even... who was the kid that you... The one that was singing the heavy set? That kid's funny. He was funny. I liked the supporting cast as well, because they all had good hearts. They were good kids, and I like following them. Superbad, you follow those three kids because they each had their own goals too. McLovin. So that to me, what really makes this comedy succeed, and I think that people should go see it. I mean, I know it did 20 plus, but it should do more.
I agree.
We need comedy in our lives, just like you said, Marissa. We do.
One thing before we wrap it up, I will say I appreciated the fact that they chose a Hailee Steinfeld song, Love Myself. I thought thematically that worked very well. And another sort of layer to it, Hailee Steinfeld was also in Edge of 17, which as a, you know, it's not necessarily a comedy, but when you talk about teen movies, I thought that one was fantastic.
Very good coming of age. Yeah.
And also, Hailee Steinfeld was in Pitch Perfect, which was by Kay Cannon.
Yeah.
So
it comes full circle, doesn't it?
It does.
It's good stuff.
All right. Final thoughts as we wrap this up. Marissa?
Overall, it was really fun. It was entertaining. Had good laughs and good slapstick moments as well. But what I really appreciated that like really did it in for me was the writing, that fact that the parents got a dramatic moment with each of their kids and came out with a good message, and I wasn't expecting that from a raunchy movie. So overall I enjoyed it.
I'm glad that it had that message, and I think that's what puts this above so many other types of raunchy. Like, I'll put it this way, I enjoyed this movie more than I enjoyed say Neighbors, and even its sequel, right? I really
certainly
enjoyed
its sequel.
and I really felt that this, who Kate Cannon was brought in to help punch up, but I really felt I was drawn in. I like the characters. It delivered laughs for me. I think that it should do better at the box office. And I urge people, go see Blockers. You will laugh. And what is wrong with that in today's world? We need it. And it's good. You'll like it.
Yes. We will. Mm-hmm. Especially because it's prom season. Why not?
Why not?
And shout out to Kay Cannon. You mentioned the Pitch Perfect movies have been quite successful. And they've been good. But this is her first time behind an actual camera instead of just writing it. And so kudos to her. I want to see more, and we talk about the importance of diversity, whether whether in terms of heritage or certainly men versus females, you know, kudos to her. And I want to see more of her, whether it is comedy, she tends to like that world, or something else. Who knows? Maybe she'll branch out. But
she
even
did
if she,
a great job.
Yeah.
And remember how we talk raunch? Just one quick second. There's that movie Rough Night, which was all women and should have been praised because it was all women, but it wasn't a good movie. So when the raunch stuff happens in that movie, I don't think that it was.
But there
enough.
Are
I don't
some
think it was
good raunchy
good.
Movies that have women. Yes. I mean, Bridesmaids
was
very
a very
successful.
Good movie. And look who wrote
Girls
yes.
Trip also did
absolutely.
Successful.
But
as
this is teenage girls yeah. and directed by. And I really appreciate that. This is really a good example of a good comedy that I think people enjoy, and they should continue to go see this in its second weekend.
Absolutely. So there we have it. If you want to let us know your comments, by all means, please do so. Let us know your favorite lines. Let us know if you loved it. If for some reason you didn't like it, why didn't you like it? If you haven't yet seen it, well, the fact that you've gotten this far is amazing. But let us know why you haven't seen it. And all that fun stuff. In the meantime, definitely check out past Comedy Anatomies, whether Game Night most recently, and all those various other ones we mentioned, and also Not Comedies. We cover a lot here. On behalf of at Serafini TV for Marissa.
That's right.
At DMovies 1701 for Dimitri.
Thank you. 83% this movie on Rotten Tomatoes, which is high for a comedy very in high. Today's day and age, too.
That's like
that's like an A++.
I'm at Phil Svitek. Thank you guys for joining us. Next week, we will be all doing right. Isle of Dogs as our long review and Rampage as our quick review, and woo-hoo. So on and so forth from there. So lots to look forward to. Until then, bye.
Happy. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.